Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday the 15th of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we look at the findings of the YouGov Galaxy poll released in The Guardian yesterday, showing that nearly 80% of Australians surveyed opposed religious schools having a free pass to discriminate against LGBTIQ people. As we explore religious freedom versus school discrimination, what's it all mean? We find out about Border Pride Fair Day, which sees the LGBTIQ communities of Albury-Wodonga and their allies celebrating regional pride this weekend, sitting on the New South Wales and Victorian border. And 6 months after the announcement of the yes vote in the Australian Law Postal Survey, we explore what's next as we hear from speakers at the panel hosted by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. Last year's battle only begins to tackle the varied inequalities faced by our communities.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Yesterday, the YouGov Galaxy poll in The Guardian, commissioned by Just Equal, showed that 4 out of 5 Australians oppose the right for religious schools to hire and fire or expel students because of their sexuality. It found that 82% of respondents oppose the expulsion of students from religious schools because of their sexuality, and 78% oppose the expulsion of students because of their gender identification. It also found that 79% oppose the firing of teachers if they married a same-sex partner, 78% opposed religious schools receiving taxpayer funding if they legally discriminate against LGBTI staff and students, and 69% believed the law should not be changed to allow businesses to refuse service for same-sex weddings. With nearly 80% of Australians surveyed opposing religious schools having a free pass to discriminate against LGBTIQ people, the Greens have called for stronger anti-discrimination protections. So, religious freedom versus school discrimination, what's it all mean? Ian Muchamore and Rachel Taylor-Jones sat down with Greens spokesperson Senator Janet Rice and Dale Park, co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, to discuss just that.
I'm Senator Janet Rice. I'm the Greens spokesperson for LGBTIQ issues.
Janet, could you just start by giving us an overview of the poll results that have just come out by that Galaxy poll and what they mean to you?
Look, I found it so refreshing, and it's what I feel that sort of this is where mainstream Australia are at. I mean, this Galaxy poll, which was conducted for the lobby group Just Equal, showed that 82% oppose our existing exemptions to our anti-discrimination law that allows religious organisations to sack staff because they are same-sex attracted or gender diverse. And 79% were opposed to schools' ability to fire teachers if they married a person of the same sex, which is overwhelming. But most Australians are really accepting people that celebrate people regardless of their gender orientation or their sexuality, and they don't want to see them being discriminated against. And this poll has come at a really interesting time because we've got the Ruddock review into so-called religious freedoms, which is going to sort of bring down its recommendations, I think, by the end of the month. So I think well done, Just Equal, for sort of getting out there and sort of showing unequivocally that average Australians don't want discrimination against LGBTIQ people.
Dale, it's obviously 6 months since we had the marriage equality plebiscite. And back then, there were some polls that looked at religious discrimination and how much the Australian public supported or didn't support that. And they seemed to show that there was wider support amongst the Australian public for discrimination on religious grounds. Do you think there's been a change in people's attitudes over that time?
It's interesting. I would think and hope that Australians don't agree with any form of discrimination, whether it's on the grounds of sexual orientation, gender identity, or religion. People should be able to have their religious views, and the religious exemption, the religious protections that have been put in place have been put there because people have faced persecution because of their faith and what they believe in. Whereas what we're looking at repealing and removing is the right for a faith-based organisation to discriminate against an LGBT person.
So, Jenna, what can people discriminate on at the current time? What are the provisions for discrimination against LGBTI people?
At the moment, under the provisions of our anti-discrimination law, there are exemptions. And those exemptions are for religious organisations. So whether it's, say, a church school or an aged care centre or a hospital, they are allowed to discriminate against people if it's in accordance with the tenets of their religion. So that means that if you're a Catholic school, that you're allowed to say, no, I don't want, you know, gay people teaching here. Obviously, in many Catholic schools, there are many lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex people for teaching in Catholic schools. But what it gives the schools the ability to do is to say, if you know, to really, it's in their hands to say, well, we don't like you anymore, so that we're going to fire you. And this has come to the fore in recent times, and particularly now that we've got marriage equality, is that if you've got a teacher who is same-sex attracted, who very clearly is saying, look, I'm going to, you know, identify as that. I'm going to come out of the closet in my school environment and I'm going to get married to my same-sex partner. We've had already had instances where those teachers have then been sacked. So these are the sorts of discriminations that still exist under our existing anti-discrimination law that the Greens are absolutely committed to getting rid of, and it's very welcoming to see that the majority of Australians support us in that.
I think everyday Australians would be really surprised to know that there are currently laws that mean you can be fired because of your sexual orientation, because of your gender identity, and they only exist in very specific areas. And I think when that's brought to people's attention, as it clearly was in this poll that Just Equal commissioned, when that's brought to people's attention, of course they recognise that that's wrong. Overwhelmingly, they don't think that students should be asked to leave because they're LGBT, and that teachers shouldn't be able to be fired because they maybe marry someone of the same sex, they identify as transgender. So I think that's a really, really a great aspect of this poll, is that it's bringing attention to the wider community.
Janet, do you think that it should make a difference that these schools are in part taxpayer funded?
I think it's a really important point, because my view very strongly is if you're accepting funding from the government, taxpayer funding, well, then you should accept the laws of the land. And so that should mean that schools or hospitals or aged care centres, which are essentially serving the whole diversity of our community, should, if they are receiving taxpayer funding, that they shouldn't be able to discriminate. I mean, clearly, if you're a small group who just want to sort of be doing things very much in your own community and completely cut off from the rest of society, I still think that, you know, you'd like them not to discriminate, but you could conceive of a situation where they could be operating under different laws, but very much where you've got schools that, in some instances, you know, families don't have a choice. In some small communities, you know, the Catholic school is the only close-by school that they can send their children to. They should not be able to discriminate.
Janet, do you think that attitudes have changed in the last 6 months since the marriage equality plebiscite?
Look, I think they possibly have, because, you know, we've got marriage equality. people who love each other are able to get married. It's given people the ability to really, you know, publicly express that love through marriage. And I think there are a lot of people, I mean, we had a majority of Australians that supported marriage equality anyway, as we know, but I think even those people that were a bit uncertain about it have recognised that, you know, the sky hasn't fallen in. In fact, the sun has continued to come out and shine more brightly, I reckon, after marriage equality. So there's building acceptance, because it's very much that this is how mainstream Australia, you know, really accepts and celebrates LGBTIQ people, and other people who, you know, were a bit concerned are feeling that, well, if that's how, you know, if that's what mainstream Australia feels, well, they'll support that.
Janet, in light of those shifting opinions from the Australian public, and in light of the fact that Australia is a politically secular country, what does it mean to see the right to religious freedom placed above the right to receive education and employment without discrimination for the LGBTI community as it is under the current law?
Look, it's unacceptable, and it's something that the Greens are going to continue to really fight to change, because we've got people who are, you know, I think quite reasonably, wanting to have their right to belong to a religion to be respected, but it should not be held in opposition to other people's rights to be able to sort of go about their business and not be discriminated against. And where we've got issues is where people's rights to hold a religion, that then becomes discrimination against other people.
Australia is a secular country. The latest census data continues to show us that the majority of people don't identify with a faith. So it does seem interesting that the laws in which are enacted around religious exemptions probably aren't in keeping with community expectation. And I think we all have a responsibility to continue to push and make this issue known, to write to our MPs, to sign petitions that are calling for the changes to these laws, and actually make it a political issue that both sides of politics need to pay attention to and understand.
Part of the problem we've got in Australia is that we've got this mishmash of anti-discrimination laws, whereas it would be great if we had sort of much more comprehensive anti-discrimination laws and human rights laws embedded in a Charter of Rights. And Australia is the only Western democracy that doesn't have a Charter of Rights. If we had a Charter of Rights, it would give us that framework to work out what to do when you've got a situation where, you know, one person wanting to manifest their religion then ends up being discrimination against somebody else. And I think, you know, under a comprehensive Charter of Rights, you'd say, okay, you've got the right to hold your religious belief, but you have not got the right to therefore discriminate against other people, and particularly not if you're discriminating against them in a service that is being supported with taxpayer dollars.
Janet, it's fine to talk about a Charter of Human Rights, but at the current time, it's only the Greens are pushing for that position. What do you actually expect will happen at the end of the day? What progress are we going to see? Because we're getting pushed in both directions.
I think we really need to call upon the Labor Party to come clean as to where they stand on this issue, because they, at the moment, are saying that they still support the existing discriminations that are in our law. And I think if the Labor Party are presenting themselves as a party that's concerned about social justice, and they were there, you know, as part of the marriage equality campaign, they also need to support getting rid of the discriminations in our existing law. And I think this is, you know, having achieved marriage equality, these are now the sorts of issues that we can focus on and say, this is, you know, where the changes and the campaigning needs to be focused on, to make sure that we really have, that LGBTI people do share the same rights as everybody else. So yeah, I'm certainly calling upon the Labor Party to be supportive. I think with the current government and the Liberal Party, they are just being held hostage by their religious right wing, and I basically think we absolutely need to turf them out of government. And they might realise then that their views are extreme, that they aren't supported by the majority of Australians, and that they're going to have a rethink if they want to get back into government.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Look, I think just letting people know that, you know, it's going to be a potentially difficult time ahead with the Religious Freedoms Review coming out, with the consolation prize that was offered to the religious right when we achieve marriage equality. I'm, you know, rather feeling rather concerned about what the recommendations of that review are going to be. But just to let people know that the Greens are going to be there standing side by side to make sure that, you know, LGBTI people can really have the same rights as all other Australians.
Dale, is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't covered already?
There's lots of ways in which people can get involved and make sure that their voices are heard on this issue. On Just Equal's website, they have a petition that people can sign, and we'd obviously encourage people to do that. And on the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby Facebook page, we also have a petition calling on both sides of government to change the laws around religious exemptions. So we deeply encourage everyone to get active and get involved and be part of that change.
That was Ian Muchamore and Rachel Taylor-Jones with Greens spokesperson Senator Janet Rice and Dale Park, co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
The LGBTIQ community of Albury-Wodonga, sitting on the New South Wales-Victorian border, will come together this Saturday to celebrate Border Pride Fair Day, as the inclusive event filled with regional pride returns. Dean Arcuri found out more as he spoke to Tyson Arapelli, the regional outreach worker for ACON for the southwestern region of New South Wales. ACON is a member of the LGBTIQ Alliance Albury-Wodonga, along with many other organisations, and Arapelli is not only the media liaison officer, but part of the working party managing the Border Pride Fair Day this Saturday.
In 2016, the first Border Pride Fair Day took place at the border of Victoria and New South Wales at QE2 Square in Albury. Now, 2 years later, Border Pride Fair Day returns, bringing with it celebration and LGBTIQA+ pride for the Albury-Wodonga community.
Border Pride Fair Day is a community event that's being held at QE2 Square in Albury-Wodonga on the 19th of May. And it's just a really fantastic event to bring community together in celebration of our whole community, LGBTQI+, and our allies. The whole point of the event is it's being held around Ida Hobart, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia. What we really want is just to make sure that everyone's coming together, especially after the incredibly toxic and divisive marriage equality vote that happened last year. That really quite shook our community. It's just a great day to have fun, enjoy some entertainment. There'll be market stalls there as well. It's just an event by community, for community.
This year, Border Pride Fair Day was organised by the LGBTQI+ Alliance, which has been running for the past 6 months, since Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner Rowena Allen's Equality Roadshow visited the area. They not only want to take the event into the future, but are proud to build a strong sense of regional pride for the LGBTIQA+ members of their community.
I feel like it's important everywhere to acknowledge that the lingering effects of the marriage equality debate, as well as the lasting effects of the small things that wear us down over time in general in regards to prejudice or stigma. I mean, it came to a head at the marriage equality debate and really bubbled to the surface, but these sort of things happen daily for our community, and it really just, it does quite wear us down. So in terms of having these sort of events, especially in a rural and regional setting where the LGBTQI+ community may not be as visible as in a city, Melbourne, or on Oxford Street in Sydney, it just sends a message to the community members that there is still community here that you can come to, that you're a part of, that you can relate to, and letting them know that they're also loved and wanted and needed and are really being thought of. We saw that in terms of Hey Mardi Gras as well, that was held earlier this year. So this is a town of 2,500 people who put on this spectacular event where 400 people marched down the main street of this town. And again, it was an event run for community by community. Really, these five committee members from Hay put together this event, and the whole town just really got behind it. And I feel like it was much to the disbelief of other people that were hearing about it at the time. But in terms of what they achieved, they really showed that their town is a kind, loving, caring and compassionate town, and really showed the people that didn't believe that rural and regional Australia could be this, that they were something bigger, better, and that they really cared for their community and cared for the LGBTIQ community's well-being.
Since the announcement of a yes vote for the postal plebiscite 6 months ago, we've seen a lot of this kind of community spirit spread throughout regional Australia from members of our communities and allies alike. And it's this kind of regional pride which has helped return Border Pride Fair Day back to the area.
We held the first Border Pride Fair Day in November 2016. That was before the LGBTQI Alliance was born. But funnily enough, the same parties that were involved in the first Border Pride Fair Day are now part of the Alliance. It's basically the same groups of people creating this event again through the Alliance and its connections with community.
So, what can you expect this Saturday?
There's going to be market stalls from both local businesses. There's going to be local community services. There's going to be local community groups with stalls. Not only that, but there's going to be speakers from the local community. So we're going to have some really inspirational speakers. There's going to be the Deputy Mayor of Albury City Council, as well as a member of Way Out Wodonga and a former council member and activist from Wodonga as well. There's going to be a performance by the Aboriginal dance troupe Three Deadly Rivers. And there's also going to be entertainment from the local Albury Wodonga area, as well as some international performers as well. So we're really, really excited. It's going to be a spectacular day. We're incredibly grateful for the community to come together, and the amount of support that we've received has been absolutely overwhelming. To all of the people that have sponsored, either monetarily or given gifts in kind, we're really appreciative of the support that you've given to the LGBTQI Alliance, Albury Wodonga, and not only that, but to your local community. So thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Border Pride Fair Day is happening this Saturday, the 19th of May, at Quelly Square, Dean Street in Albury.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Where next after marriage equality? We've been hearing a lot during the past 6 months since the yes vote was announced at the Marriage Law Postal Survey. Sure, the outcome was successful and the battle was hard fought, but it only began to tackle the varied inequalities faced by our LGBTIQ population. Earlier this month, at a panel hosted by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University, experts in law, public health and policy presented their ideas on the impact of marriage equality on the LGBTIQ populations, outlining what they see as the challenges that still lie ahead. Now on The Informer, we hear from panellists Bobak Sayed, Adam Bourne and Brenda Appleton. How do you think we're doing 6 months on?
For the national result, yes responses, 7,817.
Thank you for standing up for fairness, for equality, for gay and lesbian Australians, the LGBTIQ community everywhere, for our families.
I think I'm going to start with a little anecdote about marriage equality. And on the day that I found out, you know, November 15th, as Justice Mike Huckabee indicated earlier, I called my mother, who lives in the States, and I was, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek. I said, "Mother, now that we know, we have," in Farsi, obviously, so the translation doesn't map on exactly, but you get the gist. "Mother, now we have marriage equality in Australia. Will you find me a doting Afghan husband?" And lovely, devout Muslim that she is, she shuddered all the way, thousands of miles away. And that really provides a portal into the points that I'd like to raise today, because I come from a school of queerness that is non-normative, anti-assimilationist, pro-race. It is decolonial, it is radical. And from my community, marriage equality was bit farcical, really, because we noticed that throughout the process, there were voices left behind. During the postal vote, there were voices targeted, queer Muslims in Lakemba, as the Honourable Justice indicated, as being part of the two electorates that voted in majority no. And even in the aftermath, in whose voices were championed and heralded as being pivotal in the victory.
Let's remember the very high levels of mental ill health experienced by so many trans and gender diverse people. In that study that Brenda mentioned, 80% of people had self-harmed. That's 4 in every 5 young trans and gender diverse young people in Australia, in a very large sample, had self-harmed, and nearly 50% had attempted suicide. Those figures are truly shocking, and we need to be reminded of them again and again.
Growing up in a binary world, it's difficult. Fortunately, we're not all the same, and I just wish extremists would recognise that differences occur naturally and should not be seen as a threat. You do not choose to be trans or gender diverse. It's just too hard. Things are so much better today than they were 15, 20 years ago, but clearly they're not meeting the needs of this community. Marriage equality hasn't improved that. Do those that deny people can be trans and gender diverse really think we choose to be different? Would we put ourselves through this hardship on a whim? Of course not. The trans and gender diverse community needs help to avoid being the political football, the easy target in the lead up to the state and federal elections. Let's not add to the vulnerability of my community. The Marriage Equality Survey helped bring the LGBTI communities together in a better way than we'd experienced previously. I think we also learnt the power of engaging allies. I'm hopeful that LGBTI communities can build stronger partnerships and help each other in more constructive and supportive ways than we have seen previously. We need to better understand the issues each group faces and impacts of intersectionality. We're all members of lots of different communities and not defined by being LGBTI. Working together, we can be stronger and continue our campaign for social justice and equity for all. I'm sure the Pride Centre in Melbourne will play a huge role in helping to bring our communities together. Let's truly embrace and celebrate difference and diversity and not just pay lip service to it.
That was Bobuk Syed, Adam Bourne and Brenda Appleton speaking at the panel hosted by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. You can download the full talks from these panellists at the event, as well as the Honourable Michael Kirby and Lee Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre via the Informer podcast page at the Joy website, or find them at the Informer social media.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
And that's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.